Chapter 78. Didn't die of consumption instead of its master. You help yourself then. Help me now. Apostrophe, Mr. Joseph Overton was a man of the world, and an attorney, and has certain indistinct recollections of an odd £1,000 or two, appropriated by mistake, passed across his mind. He hemmed deprecatingly, smiled blandly, remained silent for a few seconds, and finally inquired, what do you wish me to do? Apostrophe, I'll tell you, apostrophe, replied Miss Julia, I'll tell you in three words. Dear Lord Peter, apostrophe, that's the young man, I suppose, apostrophe, interrupted the mayor. That's the young nobleman, apostrophe, replied the lady, with a great stress on the last word. Dear Lord Peter is considerably afraid of the resentment of his family, and we have therefore thought it better to make the match a stolen one. He left town, to avoid suspicion, on a visit to his friend, the Honorable Augustus Flair, whose seat, as you know, is about 30 miles from this, accompanied only by his favorite tiger. We arranged that I should come here alone in the London coach, and that he, leaving his tiger and cab behind him, should come on, and arrive here, as soon as possible this afternoon. Apostrophe, very well, apostrophe, observed Joseph Overton, and then he can order the chaise, and you can go on to Gretna Green together, without requiring the presence or interference of a third party, can't you? Apostrophe, no, apostrophe, replied Miss Julia. We have every reason to believe dear Lord Peter not being considered very prudent or sagacious by his friends, and they having discovered his attachment to me, that, immediately on his absence being observed, pursuit will be made in this direction. To elude which, and to prevent our being traced, I wish it to be understood in this house, that dear Lord Peter is slightly deranged, though perfectly harmless, and that I am, unknown to him, awaiting his arrival to convey him in a post-chaise to a private asylum at Berwick, say. If I don't show myself much, I dare say I can manage to pass for his mother. Apostrophe, the thought occurred to the mayor's mind, that the lady might show herself a good deal without fear of detection, seeing that she was about double the age of her intended husband. He said nothing, however, and the lady proceeded. With the whole of this arrangement, dear Lord Peter is acquainted, and all I want you to do is to make the delusion more complete by giving it the sanction of your influence in this place, and assigning this as a reason to the people of the house for my taking the young gentleman away, as it would not be consistent with the story that I should see him until after he has entered the chaise. I also wish you to communicate with him, and inform him that it is all going on well. Apostrophe, has he arrived? Apostrophe, inquired Overton. I don't know, apostrophe, replied the lady. Then how am I to know? Apostrophe, inquired the mayor. Of course he will not give his own name at the bar. Apostrophe, I begged him, immediately on his arrival, to write you a note, apostrophe, replied Miss Manners, and to prevent the possibility of our project being discovered through its means, I desired him to write anonymously, and in mysterious terms, to acquaint you with the number of his room. Apostrophe, bless me. Apostrophe, exclaimed the mayor, rising from his seat, and searching his pockets. Most extraordinary circumstance, he has arrived. Mysterious note left at my house in a most mysterious manner, just before yours. Didn't know what to make of it before, and certainly shouldn't have attended to it. Oh, here it is. Apostrophe, and Joseph Overton pulled out of an inner coat pocket the identical letter penned by Alexander Trott. Is this his lordship's hand? Apostrophe, oh yes, apostrophe, replied Julia. Good, punctual creature. I have not seen it more than once or twice, but I know he writes very badly and very large. These dear, wild young noblemen, you know, Overton, apostrophe, I see, apostrophe, replied the mayor. Horses and dogs, play and wine rooms, actresses, and cigars, the stable, the green room, the saloon, and the tavern, and the legislative assembly at last. Apostrophe, here's what he says. Apostrophe, pursued the mayor. Sir, a young gentleman in number 19 at the Wingleberry Arms is bent on committing a rash act tomorrow morning at an early hour. That's good, he means marrying. If you have any regard for the peace of this town, or the preservation of one that may be two human lives, what the deuce does he mean by that? Apostrophe, apostrophe, that he's so anxious for the ceremony, he will expire, if it's put off, and that I may possibly do the same, apostrophe, replied the lady with great complacency. Oh, I see not much fear of that. Well, two human lives, you will cause him to be removed tonight. He wants to start at once. Fear not to do this on your responsibility. For tomorrow the absolute necessity of the proceeding will be but too apparent. Remember, number 19. The name is Trot. No delay, for life and death depend upon your promptitude. Passionate language, certainly. Shall I see him? Apostrophe, do, apostrophe, replied Miss Julia, and entreat him to act his part well. I am half afraid of him. Tell him to be cautious. Apostrophe, I will, apostrophe, said the mayor. Settle all the arrangements. Apostrophe, I will, apostrophe, said the mayor again. And say I think the chaise had better be ordered for 1 o'clock. Apostrophe, very well, apostrophe, said the mayor once more, and, ruminating on the absurdity of the situation in which fate and old acquaintance had placed him, he desired a waiter to herald his approach to the temporary representative of number 19. The announcement, gentlemen to speak with you, sir, apostrophe, induced Mr. Trot to pause halfway in the glass of port, the contents of which he was in the act of imbibing at the moment, to rise from his chair and retreat a few paces towards the window, as if to secure a retreat, in the event of the visitor assuming the form and appearance of Horace Hunter. One glance at Joseph Overton, however, quieted his apprehensions. He courteously motioned the stranger to a seat. The waiter, after a little jingling with the decanter and glasses, consented to leave the room, and Joseph Overton, placing the broad-brimmed hat on the chair next him, and bending his body gently forward, opened the business by saying in a very low and cautious tone, "My lord apostrophe, eh?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mr. Alexander Trot, in a loud key, with the vacant and mystified stare of a chilly somnambulist. "Hush, hush!" Apostrophe, apostrophe, said the cautious attorney. "To be sure, quite right, no titles here, my name is Overton, sir." Apostrophe, Overton? Apostrophe, apostrophe, yes. The mayor of this place, you sent me a letter with anonymous information, this afternoon. Apostrophe, I, sir? Apostrophe, apostrophe, exclaimed Trot with ill-dissembled surprise. For, coward as he was, he would willingly have repudiated the authorship of the letter in question. "I, sir?" Apostrophe, yes, you, sir, did you not? Apostrophe, apostrophe, responded Overton, annoyed with what he supposed to be an extreme degree of unnecessary suspicion. "Either this letter is yours, or it is not. If it be, we can converse securely upon the subject at once. If it be not, of course I have no more to say." Apostrophe, stay, stay, apostrophe, said Trot, "it is mine. I did write it. What could I do, sir? I had no friend here." Apostrophe, to be sure, apostrophe, said the mayor, encouragingly, "you could not have managed it better. Well, sir, it will be necessary for you to leave here tonight in a postchaise and four. And the harder the boys drive, the better. You are not safe from pursuit." Apostrophe, bless me. Apostrophe, apostrophe, exclaimed Trot, in an agony of apprehension, "can such things happen in a country like this? Such unrelenting and cold-blooded hostility." Apostrophe, apostrophe, he wiped off the concentrated essence of cowardice that was oozing fast down his forehead, and looked aghast at Joseph Overton. "It certainly is a very hard case," apostrophe, replied the mayor with a smile, "that, in a free country, people can marry whom they like without being hunted down as if they were criminals. However, in the present instance, the lady is willing, you know, and that's the main point after all. Apostrophe, lady willing, apostrophe repeated Trot, mechanically. How do you know the lady's willing? Apostrophe, apostrophe, come, that's a good one, apostrophe said the mayor, benevolently tapping Mr. Trot on the arm with his broad-brimmed hat. I have known her, well, for a long time, and if anybody could entertain the remotest doubt on the subject, I assure you I have none, nor need you have. Apostrophe, dear me. Apostrophe, apostrophe said Mr. Trot, ruminating. This is very extraordinary. Apostrophe, apostrophe, well, Lord Peter, apostrophe said the mayor, rising. Lord Peter? Apostrophe, apostrophe repeated Mr. Trot. Oh ah, I forgot. Mr. Trot, then Trot very good, ha, ha. Well, sir, the chaise shall be ready at 12:30. Apostrophe, and what is to become of me until then? Apostrophe, apostrophe inquired Mr. Trot, anxiously. Wouldn't it save appearances if I were placed under some restraint? Apostrophe, apostrophe, ah. Apostrophe, apostrophe replied Overton, very good thought, capital idea indeed. I'll send somebody up directly. And if you make a little resistance, when we put you in the chaise it wouldn't be amiss, look as if you didn't want to be taken away, you know. Apostrophe, to be sure, apostrophe said Trot, to be sure. Apostrophe, well, my lord, apostrophe said Overton, in a low tone, until then, I wish your lordship a good evening. Apostrophe, lord lordship? Apostrophe, apostrophe ejaculated Trot again, falling back a step or two, and gazing, in unutterable wonder, on the countenance of the mayor. Ha ha! I see, my lord practicing the madman? Very good indeed, very vacant look, capital, my lord, capital good evening, Mr. Trot, ha, 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 apostrophe, that mayor's decidedly drunk, apostrophe soliloquized Mr. Trot, throwing himself back in his chair, in an attitude of reflection. He is a much cleverer fellow than I thought him, that young nobleman, he carries it off uncommonly well, apostrophe thought Overton, as he went his way to the bar, there to complete his arrangements. This was soon done. Every word of the story was implicitly believed, and the one-eyed Boots was immediately instructed to repair to number 19, to act as custodian of the person of the supposed lunatic until 12:30. In pursuance of this direction, that somewhat eccentric gentleman armed himself with a walking stick of gigantic dimensions, and repaired, with his usual equanimity of manner, to Mr. Trot's apartment, which he entered without any ceremony, and mounted guard in, by quietly depositing himself on a chair near the door, where he proceeded to beguile the time, by whistling a popular air with great apparent satisfaction. What do you want here, you scoundrel? Apostrophe, apostrophe exclaimed Mr. Alexander Trot, with a proper appearance of indignation at his detention. The Boots beat time with his head, as he looked gently round at Mr. Trot with a smile of pity, and whistled an adagio movement. Do you attend in this room by Mr. Overton's desire? Apostrophe, apostrophe inquired Trot, rather astonished at the man's demeanor. Keep yourself to yourself, young feller, apostrophe calmly responded the Boots, and don't say nothing to nobody. Apostrophe and he whistled again. Now mind. Apostrophe, apostrophe ejaculated Mr. Trot, anxious to keep up the farce of wishing with great earnestness to fight a duel, if they'd let him. I protest against being kept here. I deny that I have any intention of fighting with anybody. But as it's useless contending with superior numbers, I shall sit quietly down. Apostrophe, you'd better, apostrophe observed the placid Boots, shaking the large stick expressively. Under protest, however, apostrophe added Alexander Trot, seating himself with indignation in his face, but great content in his heart. Under protest, apostrophe, oh, certainly. Apostrophe, apostrophe responded the Boots, Anything you please. If you're happy, I'm transported. Only don't talk too much, it'll make you worse. Apostrophe, make me worse? Apostrophe, apostrophe, exclaimed Trot, in unfeigned astonishment. The man's drunk. Apostrophe, apostrophe, you'd better be quiet, young feller, apostrophe, remarked the boots, going through a threatening piece of pantomime with a stick. Or mad. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mr. Trot, rather alarmed. Leave the room, sir, and tell them to send somebody else. Apostrophe, won't do. Apostrophe, apostrophe, replied the boots. Leave the room. Apostrophe, apostrophe, shouted Trot, ringing the bell violently. For he began to be alarmed on a new score. Leave that ear bell alone, you wretched lunatic. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said the boots, suddenly forcing the unfortunate Trot back into his chair, and brandishing the stick aloft. Be quiet, you miserable object, and don't let everybody know there's a madman in the house. Apostrophe, he is a madman. He is a madman. Apostrophe, exclaimed the terrified Mr. Trot, gazing on the one eye of the red-headed boots with a look of abject horror. Madman. Apostrophe, apostrophe, replied the boots. Damn, I think he is a madman with a vengeance. Listen to me, you unfortunate. Ah. Would you? Apostrophe, a slight tap on the head with the large stick, as Mr. Trot made another move towards the bell handle. I caught you there, did I? Apostrophe, spare my life. Apostrophe, apostrophe, exclaimed Trot, raising his hands imploringly. I don't want your life, apostrophe, replied the boots, disdainfully, though I think it'd be a charity if somebody took it. Apostrophe, no, no, it wouldn't, apostrophe, interrupted poor Mr. Trot, hurriedly, no, no, it wouldn't. I'd rather keep it. Apostrophe, oh very well, apostrophe, said the boots. That's a mere matter of taste, everyone to his liking. Hosever, all I've got to say is this here. You sit quietly down in that chair, and I'll sit opposite. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.